We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Yee?
Oh, I thought Charlamagne was
here. Nah, Charlamagne ain't here. What up, Yee?
Good morning, DJ Envy.
It's Tuesday! When I walked in the building, I seen Charlamagne pulling up, so he should be coming upstairs right now. There's a big dude downstairs in a trench coat and a hat. I don't know if Charlamagne knows that security. So Charlamagne might be just chilling in the car until he assesses the situation.
Well, no, I think that security reached out to you guys, no?
Yeah, but this is a new security guard, and this dude is like 6'5", and he's just big as ish. When I seen him downstairs, I had my hood on and my mask on. I kind of just shimmied in the building, and I realized that was security. I was like,
oh. You shimmied?
Yeah, I shimmied right in that building.
Well, listen, I just want to say Revolt has been off this whole time. Supposedly, they're back in January. That's why I can't see who's here. Normally, on Revolt, we could see each other on the camera.
Correct.
So we know who's in the studio, who's not.
Yeah.
But, yes, so I know a lot of people have been asking what's happened to Revolt, and it's nothing to do with us.
Yeah, that's no. Revolt is thing. Back in January in the new year, so Revolt will be back in January. I guess they just take a little vacation. Happy birthday to my dad. Today is my dad's birthday. So happy birthday, Papa.
Happy birthday, Daddy Envy.
Yeah, I won't get to, see him. Usually I see him for his birthday. Usually I see him for Thanksgiving. Usually I see him for Christmas. But with the cases rising the way that they are, I'll just absolutely positively fall back.
I wouldn't be in the studio either.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you said you wouldn't be in the studio? Yeah, I think this might be my last week. The way that they talk about New York is about to shut down and Jersey's about to shut down. It might just be safer to just keep my ass at home.
They opening the schools back up in New York.
Then they talking about they might be closing the school, I heard this morning.
Oh, I saw that.
The schools are closed.
December 7th, they're going to reopen.
In phases.
Yeah, I mean, I want them to reopen the country, man. Reopen the economy. People out there losing their businesses and things. I want this thing to stop.
But the vaccine is right around the corner. It's three different vaccines.
Right.
So, I mean, it's only a matter of time. We just got to make it through.
Weather the storm a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, you make it through April, we'll be all right.
You know that was a security guard downstairs. I didn't know if you knew that at first. I was going to call you. I said, you see.
Come on, man. Who you think called him?
Oh, okay.
Making you sure. Who you? Whoa.
I said, big 6'5" dude.
Come
I said, Charlamagne might, he might say.
Come on
assess
now.
Assess the situation before he walks in the building.
Nah. Come on. That's my man. That's my man. It's my guy's guy.
It's okay. My man. You don't even know his name.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
I just don't want to say it.
All right. Hey, man.
That's all. But yeah.
He was mad secretive, too. I was like, what's up?
That's how I like him.
I was like, Charlamagne here yet?
don't know.
That's right. Mind your damn business. I don't know who you know. Who are you, beige boy? All right? Don't be asking no questions about my guy.
He said, I don't know. I said, all right? I said, all right.
He does know y'all two work together.
I don't know. I don't know.
Don't be asking no questions about my guy. Said, who asking? Who? Your side. All right?
I said, all right.
Just got to make sure that you never can be too safe. Right, now, you'll never see me be one of these people that clown folks who move around with security. Damn. When you worth something, you protect it. You know who taught me that? E-40. Dropping the clues bombs for E-40.
Goddamn right.
E-40 said, when you worth something, you protect it. And you got to make it difficult.
Got to make it difficult.
Right?
That means a gate, y'all ain't never couple got, of dogs.
That's right. Y'all ain't never got punched in the back of the head walking into work on camera. All right? Y'all ain't never went across the street to the pharmacy and had a dude just run down on you. Okay? It's consequences to this life that we live.
Damn.
Freedom of speech ain't free. It's a cost to it.
In both those instances, I was like maybe a minute behind Charlemagne.
That's right.
When Charlemagne got hit in the head, I was a minute before I parked my
car.
Right. I was like, yo, Charlemagne just got hit in the head. I'm like, real? I just missed it.
That's right.
They entered downstairs. What happened? I just missed it.
You're damn right.
Thank God. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about this vaccine and when it's coming, and we'll talk about Moderna. They have applied for FDA authorization for their COVID-19 vaccine, and we'll tell you what that means.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hey.
Hey.
That's the hardest line in that song. Mind my business. Some of y'all just need to mind your black ass business.
God
okay, you
right.
get rich, you get salty.
All right.
Salute to Roddy Rich.
All right, well, let's get in some front page news. Just want to let y'all know the Giants are still number one. Eagles lost last night to the Seahawks 23-17. And there was supposed to be a football game today, but they postponed it again because of COVID. So the Ravens-Steelers game will be Wednesday at 3:40, which is weird, in the afternoon. And the reason it's in the afternoon is because later on that evening, of course, you have the Rockefeller Christmas tree lighting.
What the hell one got to do with the other? The Rockefeller Christmas tree lighting is in New York.
It's a big thing. Everybody watches over all over the country, and they don't want to ruin it.
I grew up Jehovah's Witness. I ain't never watched it. Still don't care.
I ain't got nothing to do with you. What else we got, Yee?
Well, let's talk about this vaccine. So according to Operation Warp Speed, they've given a timeline for the coronavirus vaccine shipment. They said there's about 120 million people at risk in the United States. They said by the end of the month of December, about 40 million doses of vaccine, they'll have that. And then it's going to take a while for all Americans who need it on a priority level to get it. But they said over probably 2 or 2.5 months, they all will get it. And those are people over 65, healthcare workers and frontline workers are the people first in line to get the vaccine. Both Pfizer and Moderna have filed for an emergency use authorization for a coronavirus vaccine from the FDA. Now, what does that mean? Well, Moderna just applied for FDA authorization. They did their own tests, and what they found out in their phase 3 clinical trial, they gave 30,000 people either the vaccine or a placebo. And the rates that they found out among the approximately 15,000 people who got the vaccine, 11 of them developed COVID-19. The 15,000 people who got the placebo, 185 of those people developed COVID-19. And so that was according to the phase 3 trials. Now, they said none of the 11 placebo. People who did get
You know I'm not the highest grade of weed in the dispensary. That ain't the thing that come out your wife when she have a baby, right? What's that?
The placenta?
Placenta. No. There you go. All right.
What?
Hey, man, it's early, man. Give me a moment, okay? We just getting started. That's
the
right.
The placebo means they give you nothing.
It's fake.
Like
it's fake.
It's fake. So it's you fake. Don't know who got the fake one or who got the real vaccine. And then that way they can really monitor you. And you don't, as a trial person, you don't even know which one you
right.
got.
Because some people now, say they have symptoms. Some people will be like, oh, I got a headache, but they don't really have it. They just think they have a headache, but they took a placebo, not a placenta.
Okay.
Now, none of the 11 people who also got the vaccine became severely ill, the 11 people that did get coronavirus, but 30 of the 185 people who got the placebo became severely ill, and one of them died. So what they're saying is...
What?
Even if... Mm-hmm.
So the placebo killed somebody?
No. If you got the placebo, you can still get coronavirus. So of those people who did get the placebo, 185 of the 15,000 did get COVID-19, so they would have gotten it. They got COVID-19. They didn't know they had the placebo. And then 185 of those people died.
I'm so confused.
Doesn't that
I mean,
sound
so got severely ill.
Yes, it does.
Got severely ill, and one of them died.
Yeah, so why? Well, don't play with me. Don't say, yeah, we're going to give you the vaccine. I think I got the vaccine, but you really gave me the placebo, no. and I died?
Well, when you agree to be part of a trial, you know that you'll either get the placebo or the vaccine. You just don't know which one. And they don't give you coronavirus. That means you just
so how we
got
know,
it while you were out and about.
So how we know one of them didn't die from the actual vaccine and not the placenta?
Because they got the placebo. She just said that person got the placebo.
But what if it was actually the vaccine, and the vaccine is what killed them, and it wasn't placebo? You don't know.
No, they know who they gave the placebo to.
And they know what they tell us. They know what they tell them.
The doctors who did the trial know who got the placebo.
They know what they told them. They know what they're telling you. I'm telling you, hey, here's the placebo, here's the vaccine, but I'm actually giving you placebo, giving you the vaccine. Oh, the vaccine killed him. Okay, here was the placebo.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey. Hey.
But you walking around thinking you're immune because you think you got the vaccine and you got the placebo. No, that's the crazy part about
this. No, but they're telling you they're telling that you might get the vaccine or placebo. They're not telling you everybody's getting the vaccine.
Yeah, they're not telling they're not telling all the people, hey, you got the vaccine. You know when you take part in a trial that you're either getting a placebo or you're getting the vaccine. There's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, 50-50 shot.
Hey, man. Wear your mask and wash your hands, social distance, all right? God. And let all these other people go first with the placebos and the placentas and the vaccines and everything else.
All right.
Okay?
Well, that is front page news. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. Maybe at a bet. Somebody texting you? You good?
That's not me.
Oh.
That's
800-585-1051. That wasn't real. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
What up, Envy?
What's going on? What's your name, bro?
My name is EJ.
EJ, yo, get it off your chest.
EJ, that used to be one of my favorite liquors growing up.
Irk and Jerk.
There you go.
My son turned 16 on Thanksgiving Day, so I asked him what he wanted for his birthday. He wanted the PS5.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Best Buy. You know, it's a curbside service. So the dude was like, yo, this guy just came in, about three of them. We don't have any more in stock right now. We'll probably get some more in tomorrow, whatever. So I saw the guy, and I'm like, yo, you want to sell one of those games? He was like, yeah, I'll sell it to you. I was like, how much? So we gave him $600 for it.
How much are they usually? Aren't they like 400?
It's $4.99.
Oh, that's good. $100. That's not bad.
No, there's more to the story. Let's go, buddy. Tell me the good stuff.
We get home and open up the box, and there's nothing in there. I promise you.
Wow. Placebo.
He's plan. He fixed it whenever he got to the car, or his man was working with him at the store. One or the other. So I went back to the store, and I told him. The guy was like, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. He had just brought him, and I just told you about it. I was like, dude, there's no way in coincidence that he just brought him, and then I go to buy it from him, and it switched up.
Damn. We call that placebo. It's a 50-50 chance when you buy these things that it may go your way and it may not.
That's the oldest trick in the book, though. You're supposed to open that box right then and there.
Yo, he had the receipt. The box was still sealed.
Bro, you open that box right then and there regardless.
Ain't no way in hell, bro. That box was not still sealed.
He got you. Where you from?
I'm from North Carolina.
Damn, got you.
Did you call the police on him?
Nah, man.
You could have called the police on him, technically.
I wanted to whip his ass, but that's the same thing my wife was telling me. You need to do a police report and whatever. Let him roll back the camera to find the guy.
Gotcha.
I'm thinking about doing it today.
You wanted to whip his ass, but you thought about Nate Robinson this weekend, and you said, you know what? Let me not feel too strong. Let me sit my ass down somewhere.
Nah, that's not going to happen. I ain't worried about that with Charlamagne.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, brother.
Sorry, man. Merry Christmas, though.
Damn it, man. Hello, who's this?
Q from Orlando.
Q.
Orlando, what's happening?
Get it off your chest.
Yo, hey, man, listen, Charlamagne.
Yes, sir.
What's happening, man? Why you becoming to be so industry, man?
I don't know.
Kevin Hart was dead. Y'all know Kevin Hart was dead ass wrong for calling his daughter a hoe, and that's what he said.
Why was he dead? He wasn't dead wrong for telling a joke comedian, and saying bro. His daughter got hoe-like activity. Why is that wrong?
Because he didn't say hoe-like activity until he said, in my head, my daughter a hoe. That's what he said.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. I heard him say the hoe-like activity part. But either way, it's a joke.
He's a comedian, bro. It's a joke.
And you got daughters?
You got daughters? I got a daughter and a son. And my daughter's 12 and my son is 3.
So when you my daughter's 12 as well. So you telling me that, and you grew up in Orlando, Florida, so I'm sure that you went to the classic back in the day. You've actually called a woman a hoe back in the day. You telling me that if you see certain behaviors in your daughter, your mind ain't gonna go to that?
I'm 28 though, right? And so like I want my son to be treated the same as my daughter. Like he's not gonna be out here slanging and she ain't gonna be out here throwing, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You had your daughter at 15, 16, huh?
Say again? You
had your daughter at what, 15, 16?
No, I'm 17.
Okay.
But I
do want to say we do also need to start teaching boys not to call girls hoes too.
Women gotta stop calling girls hoes to be
respectful to women also. We do need to do that.
Well,
everybody
stop,
needs to teach them.
You're right, but women gotta stop calling girls hoes. I asked four of my homegirls yesterday, hey, what do you call a woman who sleeps with a bunch of men? Hoe?
I don't call women hoes at all.
Stop.
Ever.
But
I don't. You've never heard me on this radio call a girl a hoe.
You said hoes be
ever.
Winning.
Charlamagne.
And that you know what that was?
Back in the day, though, when you were slanging, what were you considered?
A hoe?
Were you not a hoe?
Absolutely.
Right. So I think we should keep the same energy. But also, I want to take the time out, man. I want to take the time to say shout out to my black queen, my wife, Mary. She's sitting right next to me.
Hey, Mary.
We are expecting. So I want to say salute.
Okay, baby number 3. Congrats, brother.
Yes, and I love what you guys are doing, man. But Charlamagne, man, keep that same energy with 50 Cent too, man. 50 Cent need that same energy. All these people still need the same energy. They need to be held accountable, man, for the things they say, because they can't be out here saying wild ass stuff, man. It's crazy.
I think jokes are jokes. But what were you saying when you used to call women hoes?
I was going to say the whole point of that was to try to make everybody kept calling women hoes all the time for no reason, and I said, all right, call her a hoe. She's winning. So what? And that was the point of that.
Okay.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, girlfriends. It's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
It's Erica.
Hey, good morning. Get it off your chest, mama.
Yeah, I listen to y'all every morning, and I'll be damn. I'll be tripping out on you and Charlamagne. I mean, I'll be laughing like crazy every morning at y'all.
Well, thank you. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. I don't know if you're laughing with us or at us. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good thing or bad thing.
I love y'all so much, man. I listen to y'all every single morning, like every morning.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your support.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
You have a great and blessed day, mama.
That's all.
Where you from?
Okay, you too.
That's all?
That's all I want to say, Tweety. I love y'all.
We love you back.
I love your twang, too. That Southern twang.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, it's Patrick Pierce. How you doing today?
Patrick Pierce, what up? Where you calling from, brother?
No, not Patrick. Zatrick. It's like Patrick, but with a Z.
Zatrick.
Oh, Zatrick.
Your right. Parents thought they was fancy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Where you calling from?
So this, my parents are from Africa. They're from Sierra Leone. They combined their names together and gave me Zatrick.
Okay,
that's dope.
Today's my birthday, by the way. So, you know, that's really why I called up here.
Happy born day, King.
You and Envy's dad.
Yeah, today's my dad's birthday, too.
Hey, it is a real brother. It's a real King holiday, I should say.
There you go.
Yo, salute to Sierra Leone. You know, all my African ancestry goes back to Sierra Leone, Guinea-Bissau, and what's the other country over there? I don't remember. But Sierra Leone and Guinea-Bissau, definitely.
Yo, that's what's up. I read it in your book, and I was actually going to ask, could you send me another copy so I could get it to my brother if possible?
Which one? I got you. I got a bunch of them up there.
I was also going to say, can I put my Cash App out there? So, you know, just in case somebody in America want to bless a brother with some little change for the birthday, that would be cool. And most importantly, shout out to my Atlanta Falcons.
Wow.
You was about how to get some doing, Cash bro? App money until you did too that. Well.
Hey, listen, right now we're 4-2 with our new head coach. So, you know, forget that 0-5 start, you know. It was a lot of fugazi stuff. It was about time we actually had to get rid of Dan Quinn, you know. He let us down in 2017. But we're not going to speak about that. We're going to the Super Bowl next year, and that's all I got
to
say.
You sound like a Cowboys fan. We're going to the Super Bowl next year. Well, thank you for calling.
I wasn't
going
to remind you.
Wait.
Huh?
Got put out the Cash App.
Okay, just make it. I wasn't going to remind you. I just want to see if you was on point. Go ahead.
Yes.
It is B-1-U-E-E. Once again, B-1-U-E-E. And please just do something positive.
Now, this brother don't have a story. He just wants some. He wants some change for his birthday. That's all he wants.
And stay on hold, man, and give our producer Dan your address. I'm gonna send you a copy of my second book, Shook One.
I put him on hold. Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hey, what's your name?
Kayla.
Hey, Kayla. Good morning. Get it off your chest, mama.
Well, I really didn't have much to say. I just wanted to congratulate y'all. Y'all doing good. And I thought it was so sweet how y'all gave away money, because there's really some broke out there.
Stop calling people the N-word.
Because they stop calling them broke.
It's some unfortunate people when it comes to their pockets in America.
There you go. That's right. It's a financial struggle out here for some folks.
You want to give some money to some people?
Damn.
Heck no. I just lent somebody $10 yesterday. No.
I'm with you, boo. Budget.
That's right. Budget that money. Thank you, mama.
Ah, just something about them two words together just do something to you.
Broke Nick?
Broke. God damn. Lord have mercy. It felt like back in the day when you heard Scrubs for the first time. Like, I gotta get on my mama, huh?
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Now, we got rumors on the way, ye?
Yes, and let's talk about a show that is coming to an end, a series that a lot of us used to watch. Our friends are on that show. And it has to do with Chrissy Teigen and Freddie Gibbs.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors.
Can we just play the song? And last time we talked, the song was playing?
We play the song every hour.
Okay.
All right. Get it right. All right. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Mike Tyson.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, after Mike Tyson and Roy Jones' fight, a fan tried to fight Mike Tyson outside the Staples Center. Oh, they said he was leaving. And on the way out, a group of fans were looking for autographs. When Mike Tyson walked over there to sign them, a man in the crowd yelled out why he wouldn't fight him. And Mike Tyson jokingly responded and said that it wouldn't end well for him. And then the guy swung on Mike Tyson and then tried to reach into his waistband like he was trying to pull out a weapon. That's when Mike Tyson's team jumped in and the guy took off.
That's been happening to Mike Tyson his whole life, though.
Absolutely.
Like, mm-hmm. literally his whole life. People mm-hmm. think trying him in different places because mm-hmm. he's Mike Tyson.
Yeah, they said the same guy actually had tried to do something at a previous signing. He started some trouble there as well.
Oh, Mike should give him what he want. That's all.
No, he shouldn't.
Could two-piece knock him right out it. And never ask
give
again.
Him what he want.
All right, now Jake Paul is in talks, according to him, with Conor McGregor's camp, and he feels like that's the fight he wants to do next. Listen to this.
The Jake Paul versus Conor McGregor fight is going to happen, and just a matter of when, and it's going to be legendary. And I'm going to win, too. Like, that's what I really want people to understand is I'm going to dedicate my life to winning that fight because I'm not just going in there just to f***ing say I did it. I'm going in there to f***ing Conor McGregor up.
Is it fair to say exactly. there's actual interest, Jake?
Yeah, there is. It's business, baby.
Jake Paul mm-hmm. versus Conor McGregor in a strictly boxing match. I don't know. I have to go back and watch how McGregor looked in the ring against Floyd Mayweather. I do remember McGregor getting very mm-hmm. tired in that fight. But, I mean, if Jake Paul has been training the past 3-4 years mm-hmm. consistently, just and it's just boxing, I give Jake Paul a fighting chance.
Randomly, I spoke to Jake Paul yesterday.
There's no such thing as random.
It was really Paul. Random. Somebody that I knew was he called me. Well, he FaceTimed me first, and I didn't answer, and it was like, pick up right fast. So I picked up, and it was him and Jake Paul, and he wants to come on the show this week, actually, too.
Yeah, he's been up here before. I think Jake Paul versus Conor McGregor. I don't know. In a boxing match? I don't know.
Mm. All right, and Snoop Dogg is co-signing the idea of becoming a sportscaster. I think that could potentially happen for him. I think people really enjoyed his commentary. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I saw Snoop Dogg posted what somebody said, that he's a natural commentator. He's Barkley on steroids. He's hilarious. 3 years for $15 million. Who will make the call?
I think it'd be great.
So
he should do mm-hmm. it.
Now, Lil Wayne, why didn't he perform? Because, you know, he's one of the owners of Triller.
So
he's
Snoop is a owner as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and but Lil Wayne was supposed to perform, didn't make it to the event. Well, according to sources, they said that there was a third-party event producer who interfered at the last minute and tried to insert themselves. It was a whole mess, a lot of confusion, and Lil Wayne got frustrated and decided to just not do the performance. And then by the time Triller found out, it was just too late. But he said he was happy that things went well.
I respect it. Mm-hmm. I don't do nothing I don't want to do.
All right. Now, we didn't get a chance to discuss this, but in the next hour, we'll talk about Everyday Struggle. That show is coming to an end. Complex is Everyday Struggle. It's been over 3 years since the show has been on Complex, and we'll tell you what went down.
Okay. All right. We'll get into that next. And we got front page news. What are we talking about, Yee?
Yes, and we'll be talking about Joe Biden and who he's been appointing, because now we're finding out more about what his team looks like.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Hey, my Giants are still number one. You know why? Oh, because last night the Eagles lost to the Seahawks 23-17.
I felt so bad for Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. I'm like, why do they have to face an NFC East team during COVID? Okay, just a waste of a gathering.
It wasn't an easy win, though, but they did win.
Pointless gathering.
Hey, they took the win.
Social distance from all NFC East teams.
Giants are still number one. Now, what else we got, Yee?
Well, let's talk about what's been happening with some COVID relief talks. Now, they said that a bipartisan group of senators actually had some talks. They were informal to try to figure out what's going to happen to provide more economic relief to Americans. And they have to figure this out. You know, they're saying that right now the key programs that were enacted amid the pandemic are set to expire at the end of the year. That includes the pandemic emergency unemployment compensation, a federal student loan freeze, and nationwide eviction moratorium. So both sides have to do some give and take. They have a Democratic House. In the Senate, there's a need for Democratic votes to pass any bill, so they need a true bipartisan bill. They said, "Not this is our bill, take it or leave it." So they do need a specific timeline on when this can happen. They want to actually have some legislation passed. They're saying after the January 5th Georgia runoff election, but before Joe Biden is inaugurated January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Joe Biden and his transition team announced several nominees and appointments for the incoming administration's top economic posts. You know, that's all going to have to do with this, too. They're going to have to make sure that they figure out what to do with coronavirus. And, yeah, there's some firsts in there, too. They have the Federal Reserve Chair, Janet Yellen. She's a former Federal Reserve Chair. She's Biden's official nominee for Treasury Secretary. If that is confirmed, she'll be the first woman to serve as the department's leader in the 231-year history. Also, Nara Tandon is going to be serving as Director of the Office of Management and Budget. If that's confirmed, she'll be the first woman of color to lead that department as well.
Dope.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can see there's a lot of diversity in people right now that Joe Biden is appointing. Now, today is also World AIDS Day, just so you guys know, December 1st. And right now, they are calling for global leaders and citizens to rally for global solidarity to maintain essential HIV services during COVID-19 and beyond, and to make sure that there is continued provisions of HIV services for children, adolescents, and populations most at risk for the disease. They want to call on countries to provide health workers with greater protection and support so that they continue to work safely during this pandemic. And they did find out from research, they've been investigating whether people with HIV have an increased risk of poor outcomes with COVID-19. And according to preliminary evidence, there is a moderate increased vulnerability. So it's even more urgent right now that people with HIV have access.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That's your update.
Okay, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, let's open up the phone lines, 800-585-1051. Now, let's talk about this restaurant in Dallas. What happened with this restaurant in Dallas? I've seen it all over the social media blogs.
Well, it's called True Kitchen and Cocktails, and Kevin Kelly is the owner. And people were upset with him. This video went viral. There were women who were dancing, and one woman in particular was dancing on her seat, and she was leaning on the glass. She was twerking. The song "Throw That Ass in the Circle" was playing, and you know he cursed everybody out.
Some would say "Throw That Ass in the Circle" is a Negro spiritual, and when that song comes on, the spirit moves you and you can't control yourself. Some would say that. Some would say that.
Who would say that?
Me.
Well, I think we do. Do we have the audio of the owner of the restaurant?
Yes.
I invested a lot of money into buying this building, into developing this concept so black people can have somewhere nice to go to, okay? Somewhere where we can feel good about ourselves as a... Come on! Stop the music, please! Somewhere where our people can feel good about ourselves as a culture, okay? And so all this twerking and take it to Prime, take it to Pink, don't bring it here because we're a restaurant. And so beyond that, 75% of my customers are ladies. And I'm on men to show respect for themselves for how they carry themselves here. So how can I tell the men to respect themselves? And you guys are twerking on glass here. If you want to do it, get the out my restaurant. Because I did it for our people and I did it for our culture.
Well, he went up
the
to
collective reaction of the audience.
He said the F word. But he went up to the table a couple of times and asked them not to twerk and not to dance on the chairs. And they continued to do it. And he got upset and said, you know what? I asked you nicely pretty much, so now get the F out the restaurant. Right?
Mm-hmm. I think what happened was when this first happened, people didn't know the backstory. They didn't know that he had addressed them several times. They also didn't understand why he cursed and made a speech to the whole restaurant instead of just the people that were twerking and make them leave.
Yeah, I think he already had kicked them out. But if it's his restaurant, if he wanted to get his MLK Jr. on and give a I have a brunch speech, that's his right. I also think he felt like he was talking to family because he's black. And it seemed like it was majority mm-hmm. black people in there. He thought that they could have some, you know, real candid conversation. That's what I took from it.
Right, but there's, like he said, there's certain places where you dance and you have a good time, and there's certain places where you eat and have a rest. I go to restaurants, and I never see nobody standing on tables or standing on chairs mm-hmm. twerking. But then when I go to lounges mm-hmm. and I go to clubs, yes, I see that. And I think his whole thing was, look, I asked you a couple of times, this is not that type of place. Please don't stand on the chairs, don't stand on the table, don't stand on the couch. Don't put your hands on the glass because you can fall and hurt yourself. I don't want a lawsuit. I asked you nicely a couple of times. Yeah. Now, I can't be nice anymore. Get the F out my restaurant.
Yeah, I wouldn't have cursed at the remaining customers in the restaurant, you know, because they weren't the ones that were causing the disruption. That's about it. But other than that, I don't see what he did, wrong here.
Anyway.
What did I miss? People were upset about this?
Yeah, very.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, and also, like I said, I don't think people had the full backstory. They just saw the video of him cursing them out. They didn't know what had happened prior to that until it all came out after. That's what happened.
Yeah, I don't think he should have said, get the F out of the restaurant. But if you've asked someone to stop doing something a couple of times and they do it again intentionally just as a F you.
That's an F you to me.
Yeah, then you got to go. You jump on my furniture and push on the glass, twerking in my establishment after I asked you not to. Then you just don't respect me and my venue. So,
I hate that, though. I hate when people say, well, he shouldn't have used the F word. So it's like, when I ask you to leave a couple of times and you continue to do it, you saying F me. So I can't say F you back.
I think those people were gone. So that's why I said he shouldn't have said that to the remaining customers in the building. I don't know, though. I wasn't there. I don't know if the people were still there or not. So I don't know.
All right.
Well, we'll get more into it because we'll talk more about his response. And he did a response on Instagram as well as an interview with TMZ. So we'll tell you what that is.
All right. We'll get into that next. 800-585-1051. Let's talk about it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Pull out your phone.
Call in right now.
Call me.
Add your opinion to The Breakfast Club topic.
Break it down.
800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we open up the phone lines. We're talking about a restaurant in Dallas. The name of the restaurant, what's the name of the restaurant you eat?
True Kitchen and Cocktails.
True Kitchen and Cocktails. Now, the owner got at some people that was twerking at his restaurant.
I invested a lot of money into buying this building, into developing this concept so black people can have somewhere nice to go to, okay? Somewhere where we can feel good about ourselves as a... Come on, stop the music, please. Somewhere where our people can feel good about ourselves as a culture, okay? And so all this twerking and take it to Prime, take it to Pink, don't bring it here because we're a restaurant. And so beyond that, 75% of my customers are ladies. And I'm on men to show respect for themselves for how they carry themselves here. So how can I tell the men to respect themselves? And you guys are twerking on glass here. If you want to do it, get the out my restaurant. Because I did it for our people and I did it for our culture.
I don't like how we're reducing this to just twerking. I don't like that narrative. That's not what happened in this situation. It wasn't the twerking. It was the disrespect. If you come to a table and you ask, you know, some folks not to do something and, you know, they continue to do it and then intentionally jump up on the table at the restaurant, put their hands on the glass and twerk to say F you for telling them, you know, not to twerk a couple of times. That's just disrespect. It don't have nothing to do with the fact that Throw That Ass in the Circle was playing and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost got into this young lady and she just had to throw her ass in the circle. That's not what happened here.
Right. And I agree with you. I mean, he went to the table a couple of times and asked them, please, and they disrespected him and said, not only am I still going to do it, I'm going to get on the couch and put my hands on the glass and continue. Yeah, you got to get out. You got to get out. Because all I'm thinking about at that time is not only the disrespect, but if you fall into that glass and something happens to you, I'm losing my business.
He said that. He said that in his Facebook post. I saw that in his Facebook post. He said that because he's an attorney, too.
Yeah, so.
Yes, he said, well, he also said, while I would like to apologize to the patrons who I offended by my poor choice of wording, I think this full story and a bit of video might help your understanding of the final straw with guests addressed and asked to leave. So at first, people didn't see that he had went over to the table multiple times and asked these guests to stop. And then the video we saw was just him pretty much cursing out people in the restaurant.
Yeah, I don't think he should have said, get the F out of the restaurant to the remaining patrons in the restaurant. But if you've asked someone to stop doing something a couple of times and they do it again intentionally, just as a F you, then you got to go. Yeah, you jump on the furniture and push on my glass, twerking in my establishment after I asked you not to. You just don't respect me my venue.
How many times I got to ask you nicely? Like you know, I asked you a couple times, like, hey, can you not do it?
Also,
you continue to do it? Get the F out.
He's black, right?
Correct.
And he's a black restaurant. I guarantee he's in a white area in Dallas, and those white folks probably be giving him hell. Seeing all those black folks in that establishment all the time, they probably always reporting them, trying to get them jammed up, you know. And one thing about being black when you own an establishment like that, it's very difficult to get licenses.
Yep.
But easy for them to take them away.
Absolutely.
So he's probably overly cautious.
Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Katrina from Florida.
Hey Katrina from Florida.
What are your thoughts, mama?
Hi, you guys. My thought is I don't think he said anything wrong at all. I think a lot of the times as black people, we complain of, you know, our establishment and businesses not having great customer service, or we always find a way to put each other down. And finally, you know, from the way looking in the video, how many people was there, he has a well-established restaurant. Mm-hmm. And the only thing he's asking is for you to respect the restaurant as you would somewhere else. You know, there's no place, restaurant, any business really, to stand on furniture and act like that, especially when he told you guys multiple times not to do it. I tell people all the time, if your mama told you don't play on the furniture at home, that means you ain't allowed to play on the furniture nowhere else, you know? So
you better not.
I think they should have had a little bit more respect, you know, for his business. And like he said, especially being a black-owned business, we have something good going. Don't mess it up, you know, make ourselves look bad. We're here to uplift each other. So just respect, you know, his things, and, you know, that's all you have to do.
You know what you got to do? You got to put plastic on this furniture in the restaurant. All black people know, do not get on the furniture with the plastic on.
No, you can't do that.
Don't even sit on it.
And the food look good. I can't wait till I get back to Dallas. I want to try that restaurant. That food look amazing. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning, Envy. It's Q, man.
What's
How
up,
you doing?
Hey, Q.
Hey, Q.
Nothing much, man. This brother, I'm a business owner, and this brother was wrong. I could completely understand that the ladies were disrespectful, but at the same time, you have to maintain your composure. I've been in that situation plenty of times, and it could actually turn ugly. God forbid they had dudes coming to pick them up, and one of them comes inside and wants to fight the owner now. It could turn really ugly. So he shouldn't have done that. I think if they were dudes, so he wouldn't have spoke to them like that.
What would you expect them to do,
white
though?
Women,
what would you
just like they wouldn't go to a white restaurant and act like that. I don't think he would have spoke to white women or Hispanic women or Asian women like that.
I think he'd have spoke to anybody that's disrespecting this restaurant. What would you do? What would you do in that situation?
I would tell them, I would turn off the music. I'd say, DJ, you know what? Cut that, throw that, whatever, in a circle off. And then I'd be like, listen, gotta cut the music off because people don't want to respect the rules. I ask you to leave. Well, you don't want to leave. Now I have to get the authorities involved. Because what happens in that situation?
So now we don't want to call the cops on these women.
I wouldn't want to call the cops. And he did, I will say, afterward, he did apologize for his poor choice of wording. So he did say that.
Yeah, the white man would have definitely called the cops on them ASAP. First time out the gate.
You call the cops to escort them out because the situation now, when you don't keep your composure in situations like that, it becomes what you said and not actually what the people did. So in the Bronx, it was a similar situation.
Call the police in the Bronx.
Bronx is a little different.
Yeah, you know, of course. And the girl did something and the business owner handled it wrong. He disrespected her. Even though she was wrong, she went and called her boyfriend. He shot her and he died. The dude, her boyfriend came in and shot the dude and he died.
Listen, you know what's so crazy?
If he just spoke to her with respect.
He did, three times.
The ladies were twerking in a restaurant were wrong. But you still, as a black man, the way we interact with our women, we have to treat them.
But he did. He went to that table three times politely, what I see with his prayer hands, and asked him, please.
Now you call security or the police and ask them to leave.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. As a black man, I would not call the police only because we've seen what happened in situations like Waffle House and stuff like that. It would be very hard for me to call the police in a situation like that. I'm not going to lie. I would probably have my security at the restaurant do it, but not the police. But also, we don't know when he was standing in the restaurant yelling at people, if those people were still there. I don't know if those people were still there.
Right, but not only that, you call the police, now you have an infraction on your business. Does that go against your business, that police came to your business? You might not want that. I know a lot of times...
Yeah, I would not want him to call the police.
When you own businesses, you don't want the police to put any infractions on your business that they had to come for any reason, because when you got to go against the community board, go up for the community board, it shows, oh, we were called to this restaurant 20 times, mm-hmm. or we were called to this restaurant 5 times. And like you said, he's a brother in a white neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to keep his business alive without having a problem, because I'm sure they're trying to push his push the brother out. But let's talk about it some more. 800-585-1051. What are your thoughts? It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me.
And your opinions to The Breakfast Club topic.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just join us, we're taking your calls, 800-585-1051. We're talking about this restaurant in Dallas. What happened in Dallas, Yee?
Yes, the owner of Dallas's True Kitchen and Cocktails, he actually had to have some women leave because he went over to the table several times asking to stop twerking. One woman was standing on her seat with her hands against the glass windows. He said, my immediate reaction was this woman could fall through this window and we could be the target of a lawsuit if she is injured. My second reaction was enough is enough. After already addressing this behavior twice, these customers no longer deserve the courtesy of kindness I expressed in the earlier encounters as it was met with disrespect and intentionally ignored. That's why they were told to leave.
So let me ask you a question because yes. I didn't see this on social media. What exactly are people upset about?
That he talked to them and told them that they couldn't dance in the restaurant in the way that he spoke to them?
Well, no, I think that they didn't see the videos because he posted the videos and he posted his response that he had went over there a couple of times before with the video that people saw of him cursing them out. And you know, he did tell them, I think we have the audio, right, of him cursing them out?
Yeah, let's play the audio.
I invested a lot of money into buying this building, into developing this concept so black people can have somewhere nice to go to, okay? Somewhere where we can feel good about ourselves as a... Come on, stop the music, please. Somewhere where our people can feel good about ourselves as a culture, okay? And so all this twerking and take it to Prime, take it to Pink, don't bring it here because we're a restaurant. And so beyond that, 75% of my customers are ladies. And I want men to show respect for themselves for how they carry themselves here. So how can I tell the men to respect themselves? And you guys are twerking on glass here. If you want to do it, get the out of my restaurant. Because I did it for our people and I did it for our culture.
Now see, I guess that's the thing for me. I don't know if those people were already removed from the restaurant. If he was talking to the remaining customers in there, I wouldn't have said, get the F out.
Or maybe the remaining customers thought it was foul and he was explaining what he did and that he told them that, numerous times to get up the restaurant. There's a restaurant in Atlanta called BQE. Shout out to BQE. I love that restaurant. I put my feet on the table, right? And
what?
Why would you do that?
Not my feet on the table, my feet on the couch. You know how you sit on the couch, like you sit on the couch?
In the booth.
It's a lounge.
Yeah.
That's
and
rude,
I had my feet on the couch. And mama came over there and said, take my damn feet off the couch.
That's right.
And you know what I did? I took my damn feet off the couch. I didn't take it personal. I was like, she right. My feet shouldn't be on this couch.
And you got to respect people's establishment.
Absolutely.
You got to respect people's venue. Respect people. Like if that guy came to you and told you twice, look, don't do that, please, yada, 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 and then you still did it as a F you intentionally, what do you expect to happen from that point?
Right.
What do you expect?
Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
It's Ghost, man. Columbia, South Carolina.
803, what's happening, Metro?
What's up, Charlamagne? What's up?
Peace, King.
What up, brother?
What's up?
Well, what are your thoughts, bro?
Man, my thing is just like this. I understand what Duke's saying. That's cool. That is his restaurant. He got his own opinion on that. But my thing is, too, where I see whatever music that you're playing, that's going to fit that thing. That's like if you go to a club and you're going in, they saying, you know, Buck, give you nut, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have a fight.
First of all, your black card's taken away because you said buck before nuck.
It's
you should
if
be
you
ashamed
buck,
of your goddamn self.
Well, look
here,
man. I'm 47 years old,
bro.
I ain't with all that, man. I'm old school.
I'm 42. Nuck and buck, that's our era.
And you from South Carolina,
that's
too.
Right. That's our era. Nuck, then buck.
That's right. That is our era. Okay, nuck, then buck. All right?
That's right. It's too late now. You ain't know it.
That's right.
We might have to hang up on
you,
bro.
Yeah, you're right. You going to hang up on me? I'm from 803?
Man. Go ahead. Express yourself, man. We just knucking. Now you start bucking.
That's right. It's all good. I'm bucking now. But like I said, man, it's the music that you fit in the scene with, man.
I don't agree with that.
Don't play that type of music,
so, bro,
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You hear swag surfing, you just start swag surfing. Or you hear Doodle Brown, you just jump out the car and start shaking, bro?
Yes. But that has nothing to do with anything. What I'm saying is it has nothing to do with the music. She was being intentionally disrespectful because he told her to stop doing that twice already.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can dance in your seat. You can have a good time. You don't have to stand on the furniture.
Yeah, and she only did it because he had told her not to do it twice.
That's right. That is true.
That's all. It was intentionally disrespectful.
Yeah, now if you got those, now you know what they call them, the N-word. Now you know you're going to have some of those everywhere you go. So, that is the point.
Goodbye, brother. Goodbye.
I'm sorry.
Goodbye, man. Go buck if you nuck, man.
All right, man. Peace out, y'all.
Doodle Brown. Swag something. Goodness gracious.
It is, though. I mean, listen, all jokes aside, I mean, these are some Negro spirituals. I can't help it. if certain songs come on, I'm going to let this ass go.
What?
I'm okay. Just saying.
What song?
A lot of them.
Name one.
Nuck If You Buck is one of them.
Name one.
I don't care where you at. Nuck If You Buck, we going to start knucking and bucking. You know what I mean?
No, what song make you shake your ass?
I Want to Rock by Uncle Luke. Ooh, I Want to Rock. I Want to Rock. You can't keep still when
that
come
crazy.
On.
Crazy.
So anyway,
Drum about to play that record. See, nope. Drum, you kinky Drum.
Nope.
You kinky
and I'm gonna come
Drum.
Right at there and grind right behind Drum.
How did we
make
get
Drum
here?
Scrub the ground.
How did we get here?
Huh? You know how we got here. What's the moral of the story?
Man.
The moral of the story is just simply respect people. Like, why can't you just respect people? Like, he was being respectful. Why couldn't that other party just show that respect back? It's simple. And disrespect usually will be met with disrespect. That's all. So if you felt like you got disrespected, it's probably because you put that energy of disrespecting somebody else out there.
Listen, I agree with him that he should have asked those women to leave the restaurant if they weren't respecting his business. I don't agree with how he addressed the whole restaurant, and he did apologize for that. And I do think his wording was wrong, and certain things that he said about women respecting themselves, like you can't twerk but respect yourself, I don't think that's true. And so I think what he had to say was wrong, but I do think when you own a business, you don't want people standing on the furniture, pushing on the glass, and you ask them politely twice and they continue to do it, they gotta go.
You know what it reminded me of too? You remember that skit on Reasonable Doubt after 22 Twos goes off?
Mm-hmm.
Can I Kick It goes off?
Yeah.
And Maria Davis is like, such and such and such. Like, who was in here smoking
Stop
weed?
Stop smoking that weed.
Here smoking weed. Shut up. And she's like, that's why we can't have nice things. And we need to do better. And y'all, that's what it felt like, honestly. Somebody needs to put that on the album is what I'm saying.
All right. Well, we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Yes, let's talk about Travis Scott. Now, Forbes did this huge article on him about the money that he makes from McDonald's, PlayStation, and Nike deals. We'll tell you what that looks like.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Everyday Struggle. There we go.
Listen up.
It's just in. All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, well, unfortunate news for Everyday Struggle. That show is coming to an end. Wayno, Nadeska, Academics. The final show is now slated for December 17th.
Why?
No.
Did they say why?
So Academics had his explanation of the demise of the show. And so according to Academics, he feels like it has something to do with Chrissy Teigen and Freddie Gibbs. Here's what he had to say.
Yes, it was a very weird moment with the Chrissy Teigen thing. But it wasn't only that. I've received calls from them about other content that they felt I probably or shouldn't be engaging in. And I specifically told them, I said, listen, while you may look at me as I'm the guy on your show, I have a whole different brand to run. Remember I got suspended. But I remember saying to them, if you guys are going to police what I do off of your platform, not realizing that I have to defend my own platform that I'm building, I never came here to be an employee.
First of all, drop on the clues bombs for Academics' microphone. I don't know if he's doing that from his house, but that audio is fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, salute to my guy, Wayno, in Academics. Salute to Nadeska. I don't see any of them being synonymous with Everyday Struggle. I mean, I didn't know of Nadeska until the platform, but Wayno and Ack have been making their mark way before that show existed. So I'm sure all three of them will be A-okay.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, that's just the lifespan for a lot of hip-hop shows. 3 or 4 years. That's why when folks look back and see what The Breakfast Club has been doing for almost 10 years, next week will be 10 years, actually.
Next week, yep.
Y'all will appreciate the evolution because I personally feel like we show how far you can take it and we showcase the many dimensions of hip-hop.
Well, he also talks about Freddie Gibbs and how he feels like the situation where him and Freddie Gibbs had a back and forth also played a role.
I felt it was a spit in the face when Complex, while trying to tell me that I should shut the f*** up, you said something about Chrissy Teigen that's not okay. They awarded, I mean, literally a couple days after, they awarded Freddie Gibbs with, like, lyricist or, like, some, like, award, even though he was saying that he couldn't wait till I die that he could spit on my casket. It told me a lot.
Ah, welcome to my world. Okay, you know how many artists have threatened to kill me and they still get radio play and still get invited to concerts and then I got to come to the concerts and introduce them? It happens. Okay, it's part of the game. I doubt Complex got rid of them because of that.
All right, well, Freddie Gibbs, of course, responded and he said, and you a lie, bitch. I ain't say that I was going to squeeze your breast. And then he played the audio proving.
What did you just say?
Freddie Gibbs responded to Academics. And he said, you a lie. I didn't say I was going to squeeze. I didn't say that. I said I was going to squeeze your breasts.
Oh, okay.
And here is that freestyle where he said that.
Cancel that bitch, get that bitch fired. You know that fat ass lying. Ain't with me. When I catch academic, I'ma squeeze a tea.
Yo, Freddie is silly.
He's stupid, man. So stupid.
I wouldn't say nothing about Freddie Gibbs because you already know he's gonna get on his Instagram story and have something funny to say.
I mean, I can't no joke with his wordplay either. Now, okay, that's a good back and forth.
All right, now let us discuss Ice Cube. Where has he been? Well, Ice Cube posted himself. Where the hell has Ice Cube been? And here's what he posted.
You know, I've been working behind the scenes. A few major companies who want to do stuff. We are modifying the contract. It's taking a minute because, you know, we want to make sure we're, you know, specifically hitting all the areas that we may have missed. All the people who dissed what I was doing, I'm going to just watch you and see what you get out the whole deal. You talking about I was worried about getting some taxes or some shit. Anybody that would go through all this for some taxes is an idiot.
All right. So he's still working on it, guys.
I have faith in Ice Cube, unlike a lot of other people. You know, I don't know why people would ever think that Ice Cube would be on the side of anything except for the side of blackness. So.
Yeah, but I'd never think Ice Cube has bad intentions in anything that he's doing.
You may not like the way he does things, but he definitely, his intentions are pure.
All right, now Walmart has revealed that Patti LaBelle sold 1,500 sweet potato pies per hour during Thanksgiving. Per hour.
I believe it.
Drop on the clues bombs for Queen Patti LaBelle.
That is amazing.
How many pies did
she ship? That means she sold 36,000 of her sweet potato pies every day. That's how much she sells. So that's, they said 1,500 per hour.
How many did they ship? I need to know.
A lot of damn pies.
I'm going to call. There's nothing to call the house for. Never mind.
Call Charles.
What? You gonna call the house for sweet potato pie?
How many pies did you ship?
I do check on Miss LaBelle. I got the house number. She got a house phone.
Still?
I mean, she probably, I got the house number. I don't know. I don't know.
All right.
And I just want to know how many did she ship.
Let's talk about Travis Scott for a second. They did a Forbes article on him about how much money he's making from McDonald's, PlayStation, Nike deals, and all of that. And, you know, he has a lot of different things going on. He has brands that he works with, like General Mills, PlayStation, Epic Games, McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And for Epic, he did that Performance Art Live concert within Fortnite. That got 12 million viewers. For McDonald's, he did a Travis Scott branded menu. Mm-hmm. They said it was so popular that McDonald's had supply shortages, and that never happens. They said that Travis is a cultural icon. They said the largest story here is that brands historically have told celebrities how to say their message. I think it's very clear that Travis Scott and his team have gotten through to these brands that they have a very clear aesthetic, messaging, and strategy. They said if he can make McDonald's cool, the thing of pop culture right now, that's the ultimate sign that he's made it. And he made a lot of money off of doing that merch, too, for McDonald's. So what they're saying is that he's making more than $100 million this year from PlayStation, Fortnite, McDonald's, and Nike.
God bless him.
I love it.
God bless the brother.
So, you know, shout out to him because they said with the McDonald's merch, he brought in about $15 million from sales from that. He made $5 million from the endorsement aspect of the deal. Nike, they said, probably earns him about $10 million a year or so. But the added value that the partnership brings him as a go-to person for brands looking to level up is unquantifiable.
Travis out here like he's bouncing the basketball. You got all them damn endorsement deals. Drop on the clues, Bob, with Travis Scott.
But don't think about Travis. He stays in his lane. He does what he wants to do. He don't do anything. Interviews, unless he wants to. Like Travis does him, and I love it.
Mine
and
his business.
Mine is damn
Mine
business.
Mine is his black owned business.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that is your rumor reports.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne.
Speaking of mind your business,
we're giving it down.
Four after the hour, Chicago, y'all out here acting like Florida, you know what I mean? But this is a classic case of trauma, but we'll discuss it.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed up.
So like a donkey?
Yeehaw.
Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yeah, it's Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, December 1st. goes to a Chicago man named James Dixon. James is 29 years old, and he is facing first-degree murder charges because he stabbed a brother named Vincel Jackson, who was 52 years old. Rest in peace to Vincel Jackson. Now, I know. In the words of my guy, Jesus Nice, you got to hear both sides. Some people can sit back and say some stabbings could be justified, depending on what happened. Let me assure you, this isn't one of those times. Okay, let me paint the story for you. According to the Chicago Tribune, James allegedly had drank several alcoholic beverages prior to the stabbing. So he was drunk, and he allegedly punched Vincel Jackson in the face, and then the fight moved to the front porch. You know, nice little holiday fight, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Keep your blood flowing. But when they got to the front porch, Vincel was stabbed 9 times, leaving him with wounds to his head and face. Now, what did James Dixon punch Vincel in the face for? Let's go to the Chicago Tribune for the report, please.
A Thanksgiving guest is accused of killing a Chicago man in a fight over putting hands in the leftover food.
Stop, James stop Dixon. Right there. Stop. That's very Florida, okay? All right, stop for a second before we hear anything
Goodness
else.
Gracious.
James Dixon, a Walmart worker with 3 prior felony convictions, including arson, stabbed a man because he put his hands in the leftovers. Now, James, prior to being escorted out of court on Sunday, James asked the judge how much time he faces if convicted. The judge said, for first-degree murder, carries 20 to 60 years. 20 to 60 years because you didn't like the fact that someone put their hands in the damn leftover Thanksgiving food? Play the whole clip from the Chicago Tribune.
A Thanksgiving guest is accused of killing a Chicago man in a fight over putting hands in the leftover food. James Dixon, 39, was charged with murder after a fight early Friday morning that began inside a home and spilled outside to the porch. Dixon was spotted digging into the leftover food with his bare hands, and the host's boyfriend, 52-year-old Vincel Jackson, tried to escort him out of the home. Prosecutors said Dixon sucker-punched Jackson and stabbed him 9 times on the porch. Dixon ran away from the house. Jackson later died at a hospital. Dixon told investigators he fought with Jackson but said he was stabbed first. Dixon was treated for a small cut on his neck and cuts on his fingers at a hospital before he was arrested.
Now, see, when one knucks, you must buck. But there was no knucking going on here. Okay, don't tell me you got upset this man put his bare hands in the leftovers because of COVID. Because you swung on him. There's no such thing as socially distanced fighting. Okay, my brother, James Dixon, I don't know what type of trauma that you're dealing with that has you in such pain, that has you so hurt, that will cause you to throw your whole life away and take a whole life because he put his bare hands in the leftovers? My God, I wish someone would have intervened early on in this man James Dixon's life, okay? This is why I be on folks' ass about going to therapy. This is why I be on folks' ass about getting some healing, because this ain't got nothing to do with no damn Thanksgiving leftovers. James was already hurting. He was mad about something else, and unfortunately, he took it out on Vincel. This is why I be staying out of people's way, okay? Hurt people, and it's a lot of hurt folks walking around. Anger is a common reaction to trauma. You be angry at the person or situation responsible for the trauma. You be angry at yourself because you be blaming yourself for what happened that caused you the trauma, and that makes you more irritable than usual, and you have a hard time understanding why you keep snapping at folks. It's because you traumatized, fool, and you need to go deal with that hurt and stop taking it out on other people. And that's what happened to Vincel. He was the victim of the trauma that James Dixon has inside of him that he hasn't dealt with. So I have empathy for both parties here, okay? James and Vincel, but goddamn, James. Leftovers, my G. You facing 20 to 60 years because someone put their bare hand in the leftovers? That's not worth going to prison for no 20, 60 years and have a man put his bare hands in your boogie. Please let Remy Ma give James Dixon the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
Only thing could make this story worse is if the leftovers were today day old. Okay, if you're still eating Thanksgiving leftovers right now, you kind of deserve to get swung on. I'm just saying.
Don't judge anybody. I just threw mine out yesterday, last night, actually.
I threw mine out yesterday. But we had Ben stopped eating them, though. But I did throw mine out yesterday. And I felt bad. But I'm like, why would I give this to somebody and I wouldn't even eat it? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So let the raccoons have it.
Right.
And the bears. And the deers.
And the deers.
And whatever else is out
foxes
there.
Foxes and all that.
Foxes, the possums.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. Mm-hmm. Now, when we come back, Grandmaster Maurice Astley will be joining us.
Explain who that is.
Now he's a Jamaican American chess grandmaster from Brooklyn. He gets busy in chess. There's not too many grandmasters. There's not too many black grandmasters. So he is a black grandmaster. He's going to talk about how he got into chess.
So he's the man in chess. He's like the LeBron James of chess, right? Patrick Mahomes of chess.
Absolutely. And okay. I've been watching this thing on Netflix called Queen's Gambit. That's all about chess.
Oh, yeah, I've been watching that too.
So I've been loving it. So the fact that
Shout out to him because, you know, I've heard about him for so long because I used to work for Wu-Tang and they're so big into chess and he's like a major hero for them. So I'm excited.
You know how to play chess, Yee?
I do know how to play chess. I learned because of them.
Charlamagne, you know?
Do I know what?
How to play chess.
No, I lie like I do, though. Like in life, I'll say things like, this is chess, not checkers. I don't even know what the hell that means.
I do know how to play chess.
That's great. I don't know what's wrong with chess.
Chess takes a lot of patience, and sometimes you overthink so much about what move. Because if I move here and then he moves there and then I move this, but then what if he moves this and then I have to move here? Is
same with chess.
Thinking 10 steps ahead.
My uncle taught me
how to play chess.
Why do we disrespect checkers like that? As if checkers isn't a intricate game as well.
That's different is that all the pieces move differently.
Different pieces, different ways. Mm-hmm. One might move to the left, one might move diagonal.
A pawn, a rook, a queen, a horse. But they all move differently.
I don't know how to play chess, but I listen to Wu-Tang and I love the movie Fresh. It's one of my favorite movies. So therefore, I love chess.
That's all you got, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Maurice Ashley, Grandmaster Maurice Ashley, when we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Grandmaster Maurice Ashley. Charlamagne.
I love the fact that, you know, you're a grandmaster because that's just something our people don't see. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Black people, a lot of times we go towards athletics, entertainment, but I feel like you would inspire so many just because you've made money doing what you love to do, which is playing chess.
That's exactly right. It's a big issue for me as well. You know, I went to Rikers Island once to teach young people at Rikers. I'm talking about 17, 18, 19 year olds. And I came in the first day and the teacher introduced me as a grandmaster. And a young brother in the back looked at him and said, there's no way he's a grandmaster. Karate. I thought he was going to be Asian or something.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah.
And, you know, that really hurt me because it spoke to the fact that when we see us as athletes and rappers and the like, it's easy. And that's our perception, even of ourselves. And to see a fellow black man walk in the room and be a chess grandmaster, not only did it shock him, he insisted that it wasn't true. And so we've got to fix that. We're diverse. We have talents in multiple areas. And we need to promote our intellectuals that are doing big things in many different fields.
What does it take to be a grandmaster? Like, what does it take to get that on your name? Like, what does it take? What's the process?
The International Chess Federation has a very rigorous process based on who you play against. They have to be rated players. They have to be internationally ranked as well. There has to be grandmasters in the group of players you competed against. And based on their ranking, there's a formula that says you have to perform at this level.
How many women grandmasters are there?
Currently, there are 37 women grandmasters in the world. Women are vastly underrepresented in the sport. It's something that we're trying to address. I don't know if you saw the movie, the Netflix series, Queen's Gambit. That's just tearing up the airwaves right now. It's actually the most popular Netflix series in the world. And I think it's mainly because of, the storyline, it was really well done. But also seeing a woman do her thing in that rarefied air has got a lot of people excited.
Do you actually drink Hennessy, Maurice?
I do. I do from time to time. I don't, you know, they gave me like, you don't even want to know. I got like the liquor store in my apartment right now. But you know, I chill a little bit. I love a little cocktail once, twice.
How did you feel when they reached out to you for the Black Excellence campaign?
I was stunned, to be honest. It was absolutely incredible. It was an honor. I knew about the campaign, the Never Stop, Never Settle Wild Rabbit campaign, based on the story they did with Marshall Taylor, the cyclist from the 1900s. And I only knew about it because I saw Hennessy ads. I only knew about him because I saw Hennessy ads while I was watching the NBA games. And when I found out they were going to do me and that possibly my commercial is going to run during the NBA playoffs while I'm watching LeBron get it done. And then on top of that, just thinking about the memories, the people who raised me, my mom who sacrificed all she sacrificed so that her kids could come to the United States. I'm from Jamaica originally. And, you know, she was apart from us for 10 years. My grandmother, in her older days, raising us while my mom was away. My dad, as well, turning his life around so he could be a part of our lives. And, you know, it's just amazing to later have this opportunity to represent where I'm from and the people who really got me to where I am today.
And who introduced you to chess?
I first learned from my brother. My brother played with his friends, but it was like any game. It was like checkers. It was like Monopoly. I didn't get serious until I got to high school, and that's when I fell in love with it and just played all day. I was one of the nerds in high school, you know, one of the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, Angela, she wouldn't even have looked at me back in the day. She'd have been like, oh, come on, man. He's like,
I love nerds. Now.
Oh, well, there you go. You know, they usually come around later. They usually come around to the nerds later.
Yeah, once their dog boyfriend gets killed or sent to jail for life.
Be real.
I'm tired of
seeing
my boyfriend stabbing people over me. Yeah.
Maurice, I knew when radio was my passion, right? When did you know chess was your passion?
High school. I was lit up in high school, man. That was it. I just wanted to do it every day. My grades started slipping. My mother was talking to me like, what are you going to do with chess? Where's the money in chess? But I just really wanted to do it. I didn't even plan it. I just wanted to do it every single day. I didn't know what the money was going to be like. I wanted to become a grandmaster. That's all I knew. So you got to imagine a young brother in Brownsville, Brooklyn, reading chess books in his apartment. You know, gunshots is going outside. And all I'm doing is studying chess every day. I mean, imagine that. I was just so passionate about it. I just wanted, it's all I wanted to do. And I can't believe, you know, years later, becoming a grandmaster, getting inducted into the U.S. Chess Hall of Fame. It's like a miracle. It's crazy.
I have so much respect for the game, too. When I used to be on tour with Wu-Tang, all they used to do backstage, people would think it would be wild, but they'll be back there playing chess for hours before they perform. And that's how they would like, well, RZA and GZA, at least, that's how they would get ready.
It's amazing, man. It's an amazing game. It makes you mentally tough. It gets you focused. It's just the type of game that transforms a lot of your thinking patterns. It helps you to manage life better, manage business better. It's just fantastic, and I'm not surprised, man. Those guys, GZA and RZA, they're the real deal.
When did you make your first dollar? When did you say to yourself, "Oh, I can make money off this"? And at what point did you go to mom and say, "Mom, look"?
You know, it's funny. It came to me. It was an old Jewish lady. Her name was Betty Dykman. She's passed on, but she came up to me and said that they had a chess program with the American Chess Foundation that was bringing chess to inner city kids. And would I be interested in teaching kids in the Bronx and in Harlem? And I was in college at the time. And I was like, I don't, you know, sounds interesting. And then they said, well, you know, for your level of play, we'll pay you $50 an hour. And I was like, what? A college kid, $50 an hour? I mean, it was only like 8 to 10 hours a week, but still going to college and bringing that down. I was like, yo, this is it right here. You know, when moms heard that, she was eyes lit up like, okay. Now you're finally getting paid. And it was, you know, it's all gravy after that.
Absolutely.
Well, Maurice, yeah, we appreciate you for checking in and inspiring the youth.
Yeah, and how do they get in touch with you? Do you got like a, I don't know, a class or something that's available, some way to teach these young kids, you know, how to be like Maurice?
Well, you know, we have chess programs in Brooklyn with the Police Athletic League. But if you really want to find out about me, you can just go on my website, mauriceashley.com. And I'm on all the social medias. You know, you can hit me there, too.
All right. Well, it's Maurice Ashley. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, everybody.
Peace.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Steph Curry.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, Steph Curry is going to be creating a new brand with Under Armour. It's called Curry Brand. So it's going to be footwear, apparel, and accessories. And that extends his relationship with Under Armour beyond his sneaker deal that he did back in 2013.
Is that, he got equity in Under Armour, right? Only got?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Salute to Steph Curry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You still got your shares at Under Armour?
Listen, that's why I was excited, because I'm really hoping one day these shares go back up, because yeah, I do up. Have... Yes, I'm stuck in Under Armour.
Kind of bricked out on us, but yeah, we'll see. Hopefully, it'll shoot back up.
I just held on to it all this time and did nothing.
Yeah,
so hopefully
too.
Something really happens. Come on, Steph Curry, let's go. Now, Laverne Cox, let's talk about her. Her and her friend were victims of a transphobic attack, and she said it is not safe in this world. Here is her account of what happened.
Just walking through the park, talking to my friend, and then
we passed this guy, and the guy very aggressively asked for the time as he passes us, and my friend who I'm with tells him the time, looks at his watch and tells him the time, and then the guy who had asked for the time says to my friend, guy or girl, my friend says, off, and then all of a sudden, the guy is attacking my friend.
Damn. Sorry to
have to. Yeah, she called 911, and then she said it was over, the guy was gone, and he just disappeared after that. Damn. You know, just to be minding your business and have somebody come up and attack you like that is crazy.
Well, you know, on a side note, not to say that they did anything wrong, but my daughter goes to school at NYU, and that's the first thing I tell her. If somebody asks you a question, if they ask you what time is it, I don't have a watch. Well, you have your phone. My phone is dead. Like, don't talk to anybody. Keep it moving, because people are crazy.
People are nuts, especially this time.
Right, but you know what? Even if they said that, I feel like he still would have been harassing them.
Yeah, maybe.
He came out there with the intention of doing something no matter what they said.
Yeah, I'm not saying they did anything wrong, but I'm just saying just people are crazy. Give people the benefit of the doubt. No, I don't have nothing on me. I don't know nothing.
I've said on this radio a million times, you know, all we do is wake up every day and try to avoid other people's pain. Craziness, we try to avoid other people's hurt. I don't like to use the word crazy. We try to avoid other people's trauma. Because people are nuts.
Yeah.
I guess that's the same.
Don't use crazy. But people are nuts.
People are nuts. Yeah.
All right, guys.
And even right now, because of COVID, people are not getting their necessary medicine. So I'm seeing it a lot worse. Like New York looks like zombies
out there.
Yes, sir. It does.
In Midtown, hell yeah.
All right, Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud has teamed up with Headspace, and that's for mindfulness content. So they'll be working with them to produce programming for both the Headspace app and for the Laugh Out Loud YouTube digital channels. And so some things and people that they'll be working with include Amanda Seales. I guess she'll be showing how she does. They're doing this YouTube series, Meditate With Me.
What up,
so
Seals?
Hasan Minhaj, Amanda Seales, Dion Cole will take people through their meditation journeys. And they're also going to plan two pieces of content that will live within the Headspace app. Energy Shots with Kevin, which is a 3 to 5 minute daily motivational message encouraging listeners to take healthier actions. That'll be available to Headspace Plus subscribers through the Wake Up Hub. And Mindful Runs is part of the Move Hub that will feature Kevin Hart guiding and motivating Headspace Plus members during their workouts.
You know, I'm here for that. That's a great segue from what we was just talking about. You know, people got to, you know, do things to deal with their trauma, deal with their pain. You know what I mean? Deal with, you know, whatever issues they may be going through that's internal. So, you know, drop on the clues bomb for Kevin Hart for that. Salute to Amanda Seales. I love you, Seales.
Shout out to Amanda Seales and shout out to Mama Seales. Every year they send like a big, huge basket of fruit for the family and the kids. So,
yes.
I got it a couple of days ago.
A bunch of oranges and stuff.
Grapefruit.
Oh. I got oranges.
I thought it was oranges too. And then when you cut it open, you realize it's grapefruit. But I thought it was oranges as well.
I got to send Mama Seals some tea. Send her a basket of tea.
All right, now Selena Gomez. There are some jokes about her on the new Saved by the Bell reboot that's on Peacock, and they actually referenced her kidney transplant. Listen to this.
No, I know for a fact that Selena Gomez's kidney donor was Justin Bieber's mom. God, I wish that I had my phone so that I could prove it. Prove what? That you're an idiot? It was Demi Lovato's kidney. They're best friends. Like you and I were.
What?
So, you know, Selena Gomez did have a kidney transplant. And she was very vocal about it, you know, and she talked about her best friend giving her her kidney. And it was a huge situation when it happened. Also in this episode, it says, does Selena Gomez even have kidneys? That was some graffiti that was written on the wall. So a lot of people thought the jokes were disgusting, and they said that her life or death transplant was nothing to make jokes about. So since that happened, that series has scrubbed all references to her kidney transplant, and the edited version is streaming now, so you can't even find it anymore.
What did Demi Lovato have to do with it?
Nothing. It wasn't even the person that donated the kidney. I guess they were just making jokes.
Oh. Side note, I love the record with Jeezy, Demi Lovato, and Lil Duval. Why are we not playing that? Just get that on in the mix, Envy. The pre-recorded mix that you did on Monday that you played back today.
Ask me nicely.
No.
Good, no.
All right. And I know we also have something to talk about with Robin Hood, right, DJ Envy?
Yes, that's right. Tonight at 7 p.m.,
Get that corporate business out the way.
All New York television and radio stations are joining together to present Heroes of New York, Robin Hood special.
That's right.
That happens tonight, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern time.
It's a one-hour show that will shine a light on the heroic efforts by New Yorkers from all walks of life to help their neighbors in need recover from the impact of the pandemic.
It says don't read. Put it in your own words.
I did put that in my own words. I ain't reading nothing.
Sound like you read it.
No. Tell them who the show will feature appearances by.
Go ahead, Ye.
Well, of course, it's going to be us, The Breakfast Club. We're appearing on there as well as Al Pacino, Andy Cohen, Jon Stewart, Jimmy Fallon, Mariah Carey, Ryan Seacrest, Tina Fey, Tracy Morgan, Michael Strahan. You know, a whole host of people will be on. So
Eli Manning from the number one Giants.
Pete Davidson, Mariah Carey. You should have put us last after all these names. Some big names here.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's important, though. They are going to be shining a light on the heroic efforts by New Yorkers from all different walks of life. These everyday heroes who have helped the city's most vulnerable survive, carry on, and also rebuild. So we want to make sure we acknowledge those people. They're heroes.
And the Robin Hood Foundation has, you know, been doing a lot of good things during the COVID pandemic. They've been on the front lines. They raised over $125 million to fund more than 600 organizations to provide food, shelter, health care, education services, and even cash. In some cases. So salute to my guy, Wes Moore, and everybody at the Robin Hood Foundation.
Okay. Right. Well, you can, again, tonight at 7 p.m. on all New York television and radio stations.
And can I give a shameless plug? This has nothing.
It's also national.
Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with me. I just want to encourage people to watch Jingle Jangle on Netflix. Jingle Jangle is goddamn amazing. I watched Jingle Jangle 6 times. Okay. Right. I sat down. My wife wanted us to watch it as a family, so we watched it on Thanksgiving night. I almost cried 4 times. And then when I started drinking and got on that edible, I watched it again, tears. Really? So I watched it 4 more times throughout the weekend, so much so that my 12-year-old daughter was like, she was talking to her aunt on the phone. I was like, have you seen Jingle Jangle yet? And my daughter was like, yes, don't say it loud because my daddy's going to hear it. He's going to turn it on again. Instant classic, man.
Okay.
Ralphie in A Christmas Story has always been my go-to in regards to holiday movies, but now Journey and Jingle Jangle is in that rotation. I'm telling you.
I got to watch it.
It's incredible.
They sent me a whole Jingle Jangle gift box that was amazing.
Excuse me? What's in it?
I have the book.
None of your business.
It was a whole bunch of hair products from Mayel Organics. It was gift bags, all kinds of things. It was really nice.
I ain't get none of that. But Jingle Jangle was fantastic. I mean, incredible. Like, instant classic. I loved it. It made me feel like the first time I heard Jeezy Thug Motivation 101. I can't explain to you what that feeling
all
is.
All right.
I'm just telling you that it's incredible. All right?
All right.
I love it.
Well, thank you for that rumor report. When we come back, the People's Choice Mix is The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, today is December 1st, my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Pops. But not only is it my dad's birthday, it's also World AIDS Day. And we have a special guest on the line who we haven't seen in a while because of COVID and the pandemic. We have David John. Welcome back, brother.
I appreciate you. It's good to be with y'all virtually. Sad that we can't be together in person.
Mm-hmm. I like your lighting, David. You got the nice back. It's like dark, but then it's light on you. It's like, you got the ring light or something?
I do, yes.
Okay.
Mariah Carey was like, just shine a light
just
on me.
Just shine a light on me. Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly what I was.
That's what it is. It's on you. Nothing else matters. All right.
Now, you know, we always team up with David Johns to do something at Juices for Life, and we do HIV testing, and we always make sure we're very active with that. But this year, obviously, we can't do that. So let's talk about World AIDS Day and even how this pandemic is shifting also some of the concerns that we have.
Yeah, I'm really sad that we can't be together in person. One of the things that I look forward to every year is highlighting the fact that too often our communities, Black and Latinx communities, are most disproportionately affected by things like COVID, by things like HIV, and there's no such thing as democratized healthcare. And so we're able to show up in our communities and provide the resources that we need. What we've seen over the last 4 years is a divestment, a retrenchment from the progress that we have been making prior to the administration that I will not name. And what we also have seen is that so many members of our community, Black folks, Latinx folks, Black LGBTQ folks, have been affected by the COVID exacerbation of this crisis. And so what we saw is that there were a lot of organizations who prior to COVID were investing in reducing stigma around HIV, increasing access to testing, a lot of the things that the National Black Justice Coalition focuses on. But once COVID hit around March, all of that shifted, and then people were looking for the new shiny ball. And so what we know is that there isn't data collected based on people's intersectional identities. There isn't really a lot of data that charted individuals who were living with HIV or who were predisposed to be HIV positive, how they were affected by COVID. But what we know anecdotally is members of our community suffered disproportionately. So it has been a problem. This administration and COVID and the other crises made it a problem. And we still within our communities have to be sounding the alarm To stop people from dying unnecessarily.
I was asking earlier, I was going to say, has anything changed? You know, we recognize World AIDS Day every year, and we talk about the testing, but is there anything closer to, a vaccine or any type of treatment or cure? You know, are we getting any closer to it?
Yes, and things have changed, especially if you're white or have access to the privilege associated with whiteness. Wow. So we've talked about this on this platform before, PrEP. PrEP is a thing that has made it such that a lot of communities who were predisposed to HIV no longer have the anxieties around it, because you can take a pill every day that reduces the likelihood significantly. In the last 4 years, in spite of the things that this administration has not done, there have been significant investments in people being undetectable. So what that means is that if you're living with HIV, if you're HIV positive, your viral load is suppressed such that when you take a test for HIV, it will not test positive, right? And so again, this is about your viral load being suppressed and you not being able to transmit HIV to a partner, to an intimate partner, even if you have unprotected sex. And so we know that people are thriving with HIV. I think now about Big Sean, who has a line that I didn't think Kobe would leave before Magic, right? Like, it is still a thing for us to remember that there are people thriving with HIV. And it is also the sad reality that in spite of the fact that Black people make up around 13% of the population in the United States, we're nearly half of all cases of HIV. And so the point I'm trying to make is that there have been progress for some. For some communities, we've seen the rates of HIV go down, the numbers of people who are undetectable increase, but it is still a problem in the Black community, and not just Black, queer, trans, and non-binary folks who we tend to think about when we talk about things like HIV, but Black, cis, heterosexual people. Black women, and I've said this before, Black women, right, are the most affected group of any women. And that is because we are still not having as many conversations as we should about stigma. We're not having as many conversations as we should about sexual wellness more generally. And we're not taking advantage of the medical advancements that exist.
Why aren't more people ringing the alarms about HIV and AIDS, though, David? Because, like, I promise you, I really only hear about it when you come on the show for HIV, you know, Awareness Day. I don't hear about it throughout the year.
Yeah, I think that there's not enough attention paid to conversations around HIV in popular media. And so while we have centered other things in media, for example, there's a lot of conversation about groundbreaking things like polls that have invited us to have more conversations about individuals with trans experience. The footnote here is that that has also increased violence. This year, we have seen more Black trans women murdered than any year since the data has been collected. We also celebrate the life of Monica Roberts, the trans griot who wrote these stories. But I'll offer that as an example to say that the media and others have been intentional in highlighting stories that we need to talk more about. The same attention has not been paid to HIV and AIDS. There's just not enough discussion about it. I think the second thing is that this year in particular, there were just so many battles to face, right, and to fight. Especially when you think about this last administration. To be clear, there's still work to be done in the new one. People are celebrating this new day, but we still got a whole lot of work to do. But I think that people were really distracted. And then the last thing is that the last administration was really destructive. He Who Shall Not Be Named disbanded the Presidential Advisory Council on HIV and AIDS, PACHA, withdrew funds that had been invested prior to that administration. Regardless of the political party of the person that occupied the Oval Office, and really seemed to be intentional, wanting to destroy all of the resources that the federal government had been investing. And so I highlight that again to say that while there are so many resources that exist, medical, social, scientific, and otherwise, there have still been people, including the occupant of the Oval Office, who worked against all of the science and knowledge that we know and should otherwise be employing.
So what can we be doing this year on World AIDS Day to make sure that we show our support and that we continue to educate and spread that knowledge?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. If you can safely stop by Juices for Life, get yourself some juice, and make sure that you're attending to your wellness. The other thing is that everybody should think about testing at home. The scientific and medical advancements have made it such that you don't have to go to a clinic or a mobile testing unit to be tested. You can have a kit sent to your home. And you can be tested. The concern there is that usually when we test, especially at places like Juices for Life or in public, we have experts there who are equipped to respond and support you no matter what the results are. Again, HIV is not the death sentence that it once was. There are people in our community who are thriving with it. And so having someone with you who's trained to support no matter what the response is incredibly important if you're going to test at home. And then the last thing is that people should do more of this. I'm super, super thankful to you all for being assisted in sharing this platform, because we need to start talking to stop HIV. That's not just a hashtag or a slogan. It's a real thing. And so I really hope that, I know today's a busy day. In addition to World AIDS Day, it's also Giving Tuesday, an opportunity to invest in nonprofit organizations like NBJC. And I hope that people have conversations. So talk with people that you're intimate with about their sexual practices, what they're doing to ensure that they are safe and well and enjoy sex. And then you can talk about what you're doing as well. People should be tested regularly. If you are having sex, you should be tested.
Right.
For everything, consistently, right? 3 to 6 months. And so I want to remind people to do that. And then if you need help, I acknowledge this is not an easy thing to do. We've worked through this. We've talked about language. We have a resource toolkit at nbjc.org. We provide language. We provide activities that you can follow. There are movies that you can watch, like 90 Days, which is a film about a heterosexual couple who deal with the topic of HIV in a way that I will not spoil. But all of this to say that there are tools to help anyone who desires to have this conversation.
All right. Well, thank you for checking in as always. We appreciate you, David John, on World AIDS Day. And thank you, brother.
Let's get free.
My pleasure. I appreciate y'all. That's all I'm here for.
Always a pleasure.
Shout out to David John for joining us. Now, today is Why Hunger's Hungathon, helping bring everyone together today on hashtag Giving Tuesday. Now more than ever, we need your help to address and end hunger for good. We started a fundraiser on our Facebook page, and Facebook already donated $25,000 to kick it off. Plus, they are matching every donation made. Head over to the Breakfast Club Facebook page and join us in helping put food in people's hands. Whether you donate $5 or $500, every little bit helps. Shout to Cynthia Leggins. She donated $20. Also, shout to Carla Fowler, donated $20. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Yes. This is coming from Buddha. And I want y'all to remember this on this fine Tuesday morning. Each morning we are born again. What we do today is what matters the most.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.